Holy Spirit are always working. And they're working for the good of God's chosen people, which includes everyone who confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord. If we've come here today to worship the sovereign God, that would include us. But not if we've just come to meet with other people and catch up on what's been happening. Worship is a time, particularly on a Sunday, when we gather together as God's adopted family. And that's just amazing when you think He chose us even before we were born. He knew what our lives would be like. The good, the bad, the ugly, thinking of the film. And nothing surprises Him because He's all-knowing. And yet, knowing all that, He still chose us. When we look at our lives and our behavior, I'm sure many of us cannot understand God's reasoning. I know I can't. How on earth could He choose me? Why would He want to choose me? And only the Lord can answer those questions for us. But the truth is, we don't need to understand why He does anything. We don't need to know how He does anything. All we need to do is simply to accept that He does. You know, when you have children, I'm thinking of, well, I have children, obviously, but when you have children, you understand that they have to be clothed. They need to be fed. They need to be guided and loved and cared for when they're dependent on you. You've got to think what's good for them before what's good for yourself. Once you have children, you disappear down the list, and the children are up at the top. Once they grow up, as parents, I know I thought that immediately, you know, they've got their own life, I've done my bit, off they go, they can live their own life, and my job's done. Not right. No, definitely not. It's only the parameters of the parents' role that will change. But the parent's role is a role for life. Regardless of what's what, you are there to love for life. And I know from my family the many difficulties which we have faced. Some I could help with, some I had no control over. But whatever the situation was, my love for them is a constant. Whatever happens, my love is there for them. It's real and it's forever. And this, without question, is how we must see God's love for us. No matter what our situation is, the Lord is always there with open arms, giving us love and security. We can remember, can't we, the story of the prodigal son. The father was standing there, and the son was miles away, and it didn't matter what he'd done, the father was waiting for him. Because God loves us unconditionally. In fact, He doesn't just love us. He adores us, which is so much more than loving us. He adores us. Do we adore God? In the life of Jesus, we see the character of God. We see how we should behave as a Christian and loving and serving others. And especially in the New Testament, we're shown clearly what it is to be a disciple of Jesus, to love Him and to worship Him, to trust Him and to obey Him. And in all our lives, He only gave us two commandments. And that was to love God and love one another, apart from telling us to remember Him when we took bread and wine, which we've done already this morning. And when we give our lives to Christ, we become a new creation. We know the old has gone and the new has come. Is it that simple? No, I don't think so. Sometimes it might be, but not always. Like when you're sweeping, I know we get a lot of leaves in the front of our house, not from our trees, from the trees further up the street belonging to Durham County Council. But they don't come and sweep their leaves because they all come onto our little path. When we're sweeping the leaves, you know, you sweep them into a pile and you put them on a shovel or a pan lid or whatever and put them in the bin, and then you look behind and some have fallen off and some have blown over there and some have dropped off the brush. What have you to do? You've got to go back and brush it all up again. When we become a new creation in Christ, some parts of who we were or what we used to be or do continue to surface from time to time. And we have to keep going back to clean ourselves up again, just like the sweeping brush. And then, even then, we can do something which is not in the Lord's wishes or plan, and we can feel ashamed. And we imagine what God will think. And we think, well, he won't want to have anything to do with me. He won't want me near him now I've done that. So we don't feel that we can talk to him. And then perhaps something else will happen. And that piles more and more guilt and shame onto what we're already feeling. And we could feel inadequate and unworthy. So what do? We then go to God. We keep our distance. And when we keep our distance, that keeps growing and growing because these feelings can last for days, hours, minutes, weeks, months. There's no time limit. In fact, they can last for so long and we can be so sure that God doesn't want to know us because of what we've done that someone can leave the church altogether. We can convince ourselves, I think we can anyway, that we cannot approach God after what we've done. But these and all and any of these thoughts are completely and utterly untrue. They fracture our very important relationship with the Lord. We don't go to him because we think, I can't. I know I've been here often. I can't go to him now. I haven't talked to him for a while because of such, such, and such. If I go to him now, he'll think I'm only coming to him not because I love him, but because I want him to do something for me. I'm sure I'm not the only one that's been there and thought like that. Eventually, when I was thinking like that, I ended up in a spiritual desert. And I felt completely and utterly lost. I forgot that the Lord knows who we are and what we are thinking and doing even before we do. And yet, he still loves us unconditionally. When we look at the first 12 Christians, the Jesus disciples, they argued, they misunderstood, they acted selfishly. They acted irrationally. They deserted Jesus. And Peter even denied and disowned Jesus. Aren't these more or less the same things that affect us today and make us hesitant about speaking out because of what people think and what we're afraid God will think? Aren't we sometimes too focused on what people think and what we imagine God is thinking that we move, we just stay away? Sometimes people are more important to us and what they think than what God is. So when his disciples ran away and they deserted him and they didn't know him, how did Jesus react? Well, when he was resurrected, did he say, I remember what you did. You ran away. You left me on my own. I had no backup. I was all by myself. Nobody to give me encouragement or support. You just ignored me. What he said was, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. Showing that Jesus holds nothing at all against his disciples. Even in their wrongdoing, he's waiting for them in love. And make no mistake, this is how his relationship with us works today. No matter how bad we think we are, no matter how much we think God doesn't want to hear from us because of what we've done, Paul tells us, I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Do we believe this at all times? Do you believe this at all times? That nothing can separate us from God? When we look around outside, especially when the sun's shining, the sky is blue and the grass is green, and we look at God's creation and we think, our God is big enough and good enough and caring enough and loving enough to give us all this. He created all this for us. How much more is he the only one who can help us out in times? When the disciples met after Jesus was resurrected and they'd forgotten him and deserted him, when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. So even though they doubted, Jesus still loved them and used them in his kingdom. So even if we have doubts, don't worry about it. God loves you. It doesn't matter that you doubt. What he told his disciples, what he tells us is, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And this is the kicker, it says, and surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Jesus' love for us is secure and it's strong. Even the most faithful can doubt. We can all have doubts. But Jesus continues as if everything is on track and all wrongdoing is wiped away as if it never existed. And we must never ever be too ashamed or feel too guilty or too unimportant to talk to Jesus. Nothing we do is unimportant to Jesus. And that's when the devil slips under the radar. We must never feel less than other people, because no one person is better than another. We have all sinned and fallen short. All people have moments when they're ugly to others. All people at times hurt the ones they love. But the beauty of God's grace is that he continues through his grace to shower his love upon us, even when we don't measure up or we mess up badly. He cares about what's in here. He cares about our hearts, not about our outward circumstances. Now, I know in here, in the New Testament especially, we have Jesus' promises about always being with us, always wanting the best for us. And no matter how much we know that in here, right? How do we put that into practice? Where does it tell us in the New Testament how to react and put that, when we remember these verses, how does it tell us how to react in our situations when we feel absolutely overwhelmed? We know that Christians suffer in life just like everyone else. And we know that Jesus has our backs. But how do we do it when we're in those situations? Well, I try to remember scripture. Let me just tell you, last weekend I had, I think it's one of the worst, most frustrating, hurtful, annoying, whatever, weekends of all my life. And Friday morning was lovely, lovely morning, Friday morning, and then the post came, and then it was like this volcano and tsunami, and I was underneath it all, and one thing led to another, to phone calls, more phone calls. You know what it's like. You get one phone call, that leads to another one and another one. And I was running around like a scalded cat on Friday. Saturday, my ears were ringing with the phones. And then I thought it was all sorted. And then Monday morning, it all broke out again with another tremor. And I just can't tell you how I felt. I was angry, I was frustrated, I was upset, I was worried, anxious, all the above. And I got to the point where I think, oh, I could just run away. I can't cope with this. And I stood at the kitchen sink and looked out the window at the garden. There's nothing special about our garden, it's just some bushes and some grass. And there are two verses that I always try and bring to mind, and this one I use over and over again, and I did last weekend. I look out of the window and I said, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And you know, I stood there and I said that aloud. I don't know how many times I said it. And then I had to go to Bishop for a message. And on my way down to Bishop, I said, please, Lord, give me your peace. I can do all things. Give me your peace. And do you know what? He did. And I walked through things. And I wasn't, I won't say it wasn't in my mind that I was worried. But I knew in here and in here that God would help me to sort everything out. And he did in his time. And the other one that I remember is from Corinthians, and it says, everything, there's no temptation at all, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will always provide you with a way out so that you can stand up under it. And that's what he did for me last weekend. He provided me with the way out, and he helped me to stand up to it all. And I have the strength to do that because I said it over and over and reminded myself. That's how I put the promises God made into practice. We don't get practicalities from the Bible on how we do things. But that's how I do it. I remember a verse of scripture, and the Holy Spirit helps you to focus. And you say it again and again and again. And sometimes it's like a hammer, you know. You need a hammer to get it right down so you fully understand. So I said it quite a few times. But I think you'll find that if you can even remember just one verse or maybe two verses that mean something to you, and when you get into difficulties or you get stressed, just say them again and again and just let yourself rest in God's peace. And He will give you it if you just ask Him. And there's nothing, and I mean there's nothing more rewarding than sitting and resting in God's peace. He takes all our cares. We still have niggly worries, but He takes all our cares. And the Holy Spirit helps us in those situations, especially to keep our eyes focused on Jesus. And you know, when we're talking to Jesus, we don't need special words. I remember somebody saying something to me about asking, will you ask for prayer for so-and-so, because I don't know the words to say. You don't need special words. You just need to say, I'm here. Are you going to listen? This is what I want to tell you. This is what I want to ask you. And then you just, as if you're sitting having a cup of coffee with somebody. God hears you all the time. Doesn't need special words. Doesn't need a special attitude. It doesn't need a special place. Because wherever we are, that's where Jesus is. So, going back to what I said at the beginning, I want to just ask again, God adores you. Do you adore God? Psalm 121 also gives us encouragement. It's one of my favorite psalms. I rejoice, wait a minute, I call, thinking of God's creation and all the beauty He created and how He cares for us, just like He cares for His creation. I call on the Lord and I lift mine eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. Amen. And now we're going to sing a song that I think